Blog Talk Radio.
So this song says this. I don't know how God's gonna do it. And I don't know when it's gonna
be. Come on, come on.
For your ears, but also for your spirit. Jesus in the Morning Radio. And you're with Barbara.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. I have the victory. Yeah, in Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I don't know how and I don't know when, but I know he's able to fix it. I know he's able to do it for us. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We're grateful this morning unto Almighty God for another Friday morning, another week ending. He brought us safely up until this present time. And so we're grateful unto him. We give him glory. We give him the honor. And we give him the praise because we love him. We trust him. We have faith in him. We appreciate him. There's none like him. He's on our side. He's for us. We can cast our cares upon him. All the list is endless. And so we thank him this morning. We give glory to him. Hallelujah. There's none like him. Today we're going to talk about Testify Friday. So if you have a testimony, please feel free today to share your testimony. Yeah, we overcome by our testimonies and the blood of the Lamb. But aside from that, we testify so that others can hear of the goodness of Almighty God, glorify the Father which is in heaven, and make a decision to come to him. Yeah, to give their lives to him. So we testify so that others will know about the goodness of Almighty God, Jehovah. Hallelujah. We're going to prayer this morning, and after prayer, we'll go to one more song, come back with some more encouragement, and then we're going to hear some great testimonies today. And so we thank God that we can hear these, because it should encourage the people of God, the believer, the saints of God, Christians, the followers of Christ. It should encourage us to hear what God has done in others' lives, because we know what he did in ours. This is why we came to him. Yeah, we came looking for someone who could be there for us in the midnight hour, noonday, early in the morning, all through the day, all through the night, someone who could be there for us. I used to be a person, and I thought I needed a man, I needed friends, I needed this, I needed that. But once I come to him in the fullness, I found out he's all I need. If I focus, he's all I need. Matter of fact, he's more than I need, because he's a more than God. Anything I can't do, he can. And sometimes we, you know, it's good to fellowship with others and to talk to people and have a true friend or two, because you're not going to have many, but you might have a true friend or two. And it's good to have this. Nothing is wrong with that. Someone you can talk to, someone you can share things with. And so when God give us this, we thank him for it. And many times we don't want to let it go. No, Lord, that's my friend. And I know him or I know her, and they'll be there for me. And they're not going to mistreat me or anything like that. They're not going to lie to me. They're going to tell me the truth about everything. And not only that, they're going to pray for me. If I need something and they can do it, they're Johnny on the spot. Yeah. So we tell God thank you that he's able to see us through over and over and over again and give us what we need. Even if it's a friend, even if we feel like we don't have a brother, we don't have a sister, God is able. Yeah. When my mother and father forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Yeah. He's able to see us through. And again, this morning, we're grateful unto him. So listen, let's pray and go to our next song, and we're coming back to talk about our topic of the day and share scripture. We thank God for his word this morning. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you this morning. But Father, there's none like you. We thank you this day for waking us up, closing our right minds. Father, we thank you for life, health, and strength. Thank you this morning for being on our side in spite of us. Lord, you look beyond our fault and yet meet our needs. You're for us today. And your word says, if you be for us, you're more than the whole world against us. So, Father, we come boldly before the throne of grace this morning to make our petition known unto you. You're Almighty God that have all power, Jehovah. There's no higher power. You so loved us. You sent your only begotten Son, that if we'll believe, we won't perish but have everlasting life. We thank you for this Good Friday. We thank you for his suffering. We thank you for him stretching out, and they put the nails in his hand and his feet. But God, even before he got there, he struggled to carry his cross up Calvary's mountain. And Lord, they stretched him out again, and they hung him high. He bled for us. He suffered for us. He died for us. He went to hell and conquered all and rose with all power. Because, Father, you made a way to redeem us back to you. Because you made us for your pleasure. And we thank you this morning. Thank you for every suffering he suffered for me. For each and every one of us, oh God, we thank you this morning. We can't tell you thank you enough. We can't give you enough glory, enough praise, and enough honor for what you've done for us all. Father, in this season of Resurrection Sunday coming, and this Good Friday, he slept, we believe, in the grave tomorrow. But God, we ask that you would remind us, and that, Father, we would get on the straight and narrow because of what was done for us. Help us this week, God, this weekend, to praise you and worship you in spirit and in truth. Help us not to let anything go by, and help us not to focus on the things of the world, the things of the flesh, the things in the natural, but help us to give reverence, hallelujah, unto you for what you've done for us through your son, Jesus Christ. We thank you this morning. Hallelujah. We thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for your suffering. Thank you for your dying. Oh, we thank you today. Hallelujah. For there's none like you. Oh, we thank you for your obedience unto the Father on our behalf. Thank you, Jesus. And Father, I bring every call and every listener before you this morning, and I ask that God, you would open doors and make ways. You would bless them and their household, every family member near and far. Father, you know what they stand in the need of today. You didn't say we had to beg. You said to ask, and it will be given. Seek, and we will find. Knock, and the door will come open. So, Father, we're asking you, seeking you, and knocking on your door for every need, for every situation in our lives, for the things we can't change, for the things we want to change, for growing in you this morning. Father, we want to come up higher in you. We want to walk by faith and not by sight. We want to walk in the spirit, that we don't fulfill the lust of our flesh. We want to do what's pleasing and acceptable unto you. And Father, without you, we can't do it. So we need you this morning to help us to get there. We're trusting you to be the church that you're coming back looking for, each of us without spot or wrinkle. Help us this morning, oh God. We need you. Again, we can't make it without you. And Lord, unless you add, we can't do it. Unless you take away what needs to be taken away, we can't do it. For you have all power, and Father, you made us for your pleasure, and you are able to see us through. And we believe this morning that there's nothing too hard for you to do. With man, things are impossible, but Father, with you, all things are possible. Help us to become followers of your son, Jesus Christ. Help us to become an obedient people unto you and your word today, in the name of Jesus. Oh, we thank you right now. Hallelujah. We thank you for spiritual things. Because if we do that which is spiritual, Father, you bless us with more than in the natural. So we're grateful unto you. Help us to praise you. Help us to worship you in spirit and in truth today. And Lord, we're not concerned about the outcome of what your word said. Because if your word said it, it shall surely come to pass. We just want to seek your face. We just want to turn from our wicked ways. Father, we want you to hear from heaven and forgive our sins and heal our land. Father, we want to keep our mind on you. We're not so concerned about you keeping us in perfect peace because it's automatic because you said it. We want to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, knowing all these things will be added unto us. But God, we're not so concerned about that because your word said it and it shall surely come to pass. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Help us this morning to delight ourselves in you. For it's you that would give us the desires of our hearts. And Lord, help us to let our minds line up with the right desires, not anything that's against you against you or away from you this morning in the name of Jesus. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We thank you. Hallelujah. Father, we bring those that are sick before you this morning that are here and ask that you would touch and heal their bodies. You made them, God. You know all about them. You know how to go in and perform surgery without a knife in the name of Jesus. You know how to remove arthritis, inflammation, and blindness and sickness, whatever it may be this morning, because you heal all manner of sickness and disease. Do it today in the name of Jesus. But Father, you know when we're under the weather, it don't feel good and we're not our true selves. But Lord, if you just heal us today and we believe that you took the beating for the healing of the nation, we believe that with your stripes, we are already healed this day in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask that you would touch and heal Sister Irene this morning. God, you know what's causing the pain. You know what's causing her situation with healing. Lord, we ask that you would do it for her today in the name of Jesus. Again, you made her for your pleasure. You know all about her body, God. You know what to put where, when, and how. You know what to remove, that her body will line up with your word. But with your stripes, she's already healed today in the name of Jesus. Strengthen her in this hour. And Lord, don't let the enemy talk to her and tell her she's old and she's going away. But she shall live and not die to declare the works of you, the works of the Lord. And God, she shall be clothed in her right mind until she leave this place. She shall have good life, health, and strength until you call her home. In the name of Jesus. Lord, if she lived to be 99, we pray that she's yet in good shape. Hallelujah. According to your word, according to your will. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Thank you this morning, Father. We thank you for hearing and answering us. Bless those that are incarcerated today, those that are in every branch of the military. Our administration of our military, bless this morning. Father, bless widowers and bereaved families, intercessory prayer people, preachers, Israel, Jerusalem, Father, our brothers and sisters overseas, everywhere. We ask this morning, God, that you will loose your angels to stand watch, to shield and protect. Keep them from all hurt, harm, or danger. Open doors and make ways, God, that they don't even see, they don't even know about. And let them yet give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. Let them testify of your goodness, talk of your wondrous works, and make known your deeds among the people. Father, we ask that you would bless these United States of America and the leadership. Have mercy, O God, upon us all as Americans and the leadership. Fix our hearts today and regulate our minds in you. Lord, those who don't believe, draw today as we lift you up in the name of Jesus. We thank you this morning. We give you glory. We give you the honor and praise. And Father, bless this segment of Jesus in the morning. Have your way here, Lord. Feed your people today until they want no more. Lord, and your word, let it heal today. You sent your word and it healed. And Lord, it yet have healing power right here this morning for every call and every listener, those coming through the archives and the podcasts. Oh, do it for us all today. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. We give you glory and honor and praise and worship. Father, we bow down in this hour to thank you for all you've done, what you're doing right now, and Father, what you're going to do. Great and mighty things for your people. Oh, we thank you this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for making ways where we see no ways, for multiplying, for adding to what we don't have. God, we thank you this morning for you're doing it for us. You're yet keeping us alive. You're yet keeping us going. This morning, Father, we bring those that are homeless. We bring those that don't believe, haven't surrendered to you yet. And Lord, we ask that you would work it out for them in the name of Jesus. For Father, you know what's best. Everyone that have a drug addiction, everyone that have an alcohol addiction and any other kind of addiction, oh God, Lord, we ask this morning that you would move in a mighty way. Dry up the very desire. Dry up the very taste for whatever it is, oh God. In the name of Jesus, that we'll be clean and holy before you. We thank you this morning that you're able to do it. We're casting our cares upon you this morning. Father, you care it for us. Oh, do it for us today. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you. We can't thank you enough. Father, hallelujah. 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 Amen and hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you. We thank you. We can't thank you enough. Oh, we want to open our mouth and say it out loud. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And Lord, as we go into praise and worship this morning, but we want to worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, we just want to worship this morning. Help us to worship this day. Help us to praise this day unto you in the name of Jesus. Amen and hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Can't say thank you enough. He's that kind of God. Hallelujah. That kind of God that's on our side in spite of us, looking beyond our fault and yet meeting our needs. And this morning, the song that we play, or songs that we play, we want to praise and worship God because he's deserving. Yeah. I don't know anyone else that deserves the praise and worship as he does. Yeah. He deserves everything holy and righteous that we can give him. Yeah. Because he turned it around. He make it clean. Because even our righteousness is as filthy rags. So he wash it away and make it clean. So he can receive our praise. He can receive our worship this morning. There's none like him. I'm telling you, it's time out for playing church. It's praying time. It's time to walk in the spirit that we don't fulfill the lust of our flesh. Yeah, it's time to look to the hills from which cometh our help. All of our help comes from the Lord. He made the heavens and the earth. Yeah, they sung a little song that says, get right with God and do it now. Get right with God. Pray and he will show you how. Down at the cross where Jesus shed his blood, get right with God. Get right with God. Hallelujah. He shed his blood for us so that we can get right with him. So we can walk in the spirit and not fulfill the lust of our flesh. So that we can walk by faith and not by sight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For without faith, it's impossible to please him. And the main key in coming to God at any time, we must believe. If you come in to study your Bible, you pray believing. Whatever you need when you pray, you believe in. You must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. In prayer, we're seeking him because we want to be rewarded. Hallelujah. According to his word. And we know he's not a lying God this morning. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm thankful unto him this right morning. Can't help but give him glory and honor and praise. Look where he brought us from. Look what he has done for us. He brought us out, we run back. He fixed this, we do that. Yeah, we're those kind of people. I'm raising my right hand because I'm so guilty. I'm not just talking to you, I'm talking to me. Huh? Yeah. Because he'll fix this and I'll undo that. Oh, but he's able this morning. He's a forgiving, loving, merciful, kind God. And some things we just simply forget. But another little song writer wrote this one and it says, nothing good that I've done. But Lord, you gave your only son. I'm not worthy of the scars in his hand. Roll back the curtain of memories now and then. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Remember, I'm human and humans forget. But just remind me, dear Lord. Hallelujah, some things we need to be reminded of. Yeah, we need to be reminded that we want to please and do the things that are acceptable unto him, not unto our flesh, oh, but unto Almighty God. We want to remember the fruits of the Spirit. We want to remember to wait on him, be of a good courage. He's going to strengthen our heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. We want to remember to keep these things in motion. Whatever is true and honest and just and pure and lovely, whatever yields or brings a good report. These are the things we want to keep our mind on. So much we can do to help us to be better before him. Because Apostle Paul said he was going to show me a mystery. Hey, glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We all will be changed in a twinkling of an eye. We're going from these old bodies to a different kind of body. Glorified body. A body that God gives. Hallelujah. Yeah, it didn't come from the dirt. Yeah, it never tempted to do sin. A body that never heard Eve said, the serpent gave it to me and I did eat. She brought it to her husband and he did eat. No, not those kind of bodies no more. Glorify. I can go through the door. Hallelujah. I don't need transportation to go nowhere. Hallelujah. Where we are headed to, there will be no crying, no dying. Every day will be Sunday, a holy day set aside unto God, because on the seventh day he rested. Huh? Oh, yeah, this is what we're going to do, because we want to be ready when he calls our name. We're preparing daily for his return, and we can't forget and let the things of this old world consume us. Many times we let the stuff and things of this old world consume us, and we're doing all we can to be consumed without knowing it. Because if we'll let go and let God have his way, trust him. It looked like it's going one way, but as I'm trusting God, all of a sudden I see things turning and it's working together for my good. It looked like it couldn't turn. Looked like I even believe it was going to keep straight. But he has a purpose and a plan for each of us. And when he say he loves us, he loves us. But we must believe this and walk in faith, walk in trust in God. I can't help what the world decide to do and how they are. And I'm not going to tell nobody, oh, say, I know how they are. No, I don't. God knows. And he knows what to do at the right time to fix it. They said, no, he'll come in and make it yes. I'm a living witness. See, because I think I know. No, you don't know people. Only God knows the hearts of man. He knows the very intent of the hearts of man. So when we stretch out in him and let go. But see, we don't stretch out in him. We stretch out in what we think we need to do to please these folks. I just don't have time for it. Yeah. Shelton said, well, mommy, you did. I said, I'm retired, honey. I love saying it. Sister Jerry and I used to say it to each other. She said, well, Barbara, I don't have no way that where to go today. I said, well, are you retired, Jerry? She, oh, yeah, I'm retired, Barbara. Well, you don't have nowhere to go. You don't have to punch no clock. You don't have to get up until you decide to get up. So I'm retired from the world, but I'm still working spiritually and enjoying it. Yeah, I really enjoy this. Yeah, getting up in the morning, obeying God is what he assigned me to. And until he takes the assignment from me, I will keep going. I never retire in him. Mm-mm. I retire to man in the world, but I never retire to God. I never retire to the work. As long as my mouth will work and my mind working, I'll never retire. Because if I don't come here, I can. There's a phone you can call. There are people you can call and encourage. That's why I don't understand people going in and with that takeover spirit to take over somebody else's ministry. Now, I don't mind going in and helping, but I don't want to take over. I have too much work on my own to do. No, I can't be over at your place running things. I got to be over here in God's spot running things, what he gave me to run. And I don't run nothing. He run it all. I'm just a vessel in place. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We thank him this morning for a sound mind. Tell yourself, I got a sound mind. And keep speaking that on yourself. God gave me power, love, and a sound mind. And he didn't give me love for the enemy. He gave me love for him, the love for others, the good, the love of good things, the love of wholesome, holy things is what he gave me the love for. Anything that's against God, I'm against it. Oh, yes, I am. Yeah, I'm against it. I'm not against people because they need prayer. My nephew put out this morning that we need to pray for the celebrities in Hollywood. And I couldn't agree with him more because some of these people have been tricked. Some people was saved and backslid. And if we remember, God is married to the backslider. Some went in and denounced Jesus. But it's yet breath in their body, and he's a forgiving God. So if they come back and ask for forgiveness and ask him to come back into their hearts and live, and Lord, you married to me. I'm the backslider. I done slid all the way away from you. But Lord, I want to come back. I miss you. I love you. I need you. I want to come home. But many times they can't get there unless somebody praying for them. Dr. Norwood says, somebody prayed for me, had me on their mind. They took the time and prayed for me. Oh, I'm so glad they prayed. Hallelujah. I'm so glad they prayed. I'm so glad they prayed for me. Yeah, we got to pray for folks. Not condemn them and judge them, but pray. Ask God to give them a change of heart and mind. He know what to do. See, he knew what to do to get me in the right spot. He knew what to do to get me right. I didn't know. He knew. I didn't know really where he was, but he knew where I was. And I came to him weary, wounded, and sad. But I found in him a resting place. Ooh-wee. And he has made me glad. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peace for sure. Very deeply stained within, I was sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea, he heard my despairing cry. My lips weren't even moving. My heart was crying. He heard my despairing cry. And from the waters he lifted me. Today I can say safe. How is that, Barbara? Love. Well, God is love. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help me, love come and lifted me. Love come and saved my life. Love come and showed me the way to stay out of hell. Because without him, I could do nothing. I was in bondage to sin, and he delivered me. For whom the Son set free, his Son, we're free indeed. Hallelujah. Amen goes right there this morning. Yeah, amen goes right there. And we want to live a life so that God can use us to talk of his wondrous works and make known his deeds among the people, all people. We don't want to just do it at church, you know, because everybody at church know us, you know. I can walk in the house and say, oh, hey, Evangelist Pittman. Hey, Pastor Pittman. But in the streets, they just see me as a woman like everybody else. Now, they know it's a little something different because of my dress code, but they don't know exactly what some of them. But when I open my mouth to tell them of his goodness, it makes all the difference in the world. Somebody will believe if you tell them about it. Somebody's going to believe. If you tell them about the goodness of the Lord and how he changed my mind, how he made me a new creature in him, he'll send somebody. He'll send a preacher. He'll send a teacher. He'll send a pastor. He'll send an evangelist. He may send your good friend. He'll send somebody so that you can come to him in the fullness and never return back to the world. Yeah. Cussing will dry up. The bad thoughts will dry up. Did you hear what he said? The guy who died for 3 minutes and 47 seconds. He said there was a lot of gossipers in hell. And see, not only leaving the church gossiping, But many times we'll sit on the phone and gossip about others. Yeah. I knew a lady, boy, you couldn't, if you, she found anything out about you, she would tell strangers, she would just tell anybody about your business, just gossip. And I pray today that she repent. Yeah. Because he said he saw gossipers in here, those who had unforgiveness in here. Now, we don't want none of that. That's not what we're prescribing for. We're not asking for that prescription. Now, we asking to be set free completely. Gossiping, lying, cheating, hating people, whatever it is. Unforgiving, selfishness, all of them kind in hell. Did you know that? Yeah. So we pray that the Lord save us and keep us, and not keep us against our will, but keep us because we want to be kept by Almighty God. And we want to make this journey with him real. We want to walk with God for real. We don't want it to be word of mouth and just talk, a form of godliness and denying the power thereof. We don't want to honor God with our lips and our heart be far from it. But we want it to be a real walk with him. Yeah, a walk we can lift our hands daily and tell him thank you. Lord, just another day that you kept me. Hallelujah. My mind is on you. And you kept me in perfect peace. Oh, I know the bill collector's been calling and knocking. Yeah, I know on the job I've been threatened with the pink slip. But Lord, I'm trusting you. You say I have not because I ask not. So, Father, I'm asking you, and help me not to pray amiss. Help me not to ask for anything that you won't do. I know you won't give me nobody else wife, and you won't give me nobody else husband, and really nobody else children, unless they've been given up. Yeah, they went to foster care, adopted care. Then I can have somebody else children. But then they're not theirs anymore. They become my children. Well, you're able to see me through. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So look, we want to praise and worship. And we're going to this next song. And when we come back, we're coming back with our morning scripture reading.
With our arms open wide. my home. And even when I'm riding down the dangerous highway, I need you.
www.jesusinthemorningradio.com.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Anybody feel good about asking the Lord to fall fresh, the Spirit of God to fall fresh on you? Huh? Because look, that fresh spirit that fall upon you, your day going to be different. Your thoughts going to be different. The things you do will be different. Because he will come in and remind us, hey, you need to go back to reading your word in the morning. Hey, you need to pray first thing in the morning. Hey, you need to listen to a message for the day. He'll remind us of things that'll draw us even closer to him. Oh, I thank him this morning. I thank him. I thank him. His words, he's a friend. He's a friend of mine. Back in the day, that's what we used to say. Oh, you know someone said, yeah, they're a friend of mine. Yeah, Jesus is a friend of mine. And he's a friend that stick closer than any brother. Yeah. He'll be there when mama can't be there. Daddy gone on, but he'll be there. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. He said he would be with us until the end. But we must believe. We must build a relationship with him. This is not between me and the pastor. This is between me and God. This is not between me and my family. This is between me and Almighty God who have all power. Amen goes right there. Listen, I want to read a few, excuse me, a few scriptures this morning. And I'm starting off with Psalms 119. Verses 138, that testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. Did you hear that? That testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. That testimonies are very true. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. Listen. It's Almighty God that bless us with testimonies. It's really not yours. Thy testimonies are very true. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. The testimonies are of God. They're his. He allowed you to go through it so you could get a testimony. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselor. What? Yeah. When I think on the goodness of Jesus and all he's done, my soul cries out, hallelujah. I thank God for saving me. But they're my counselors as well. Anybody ever been to counseling? Maybe you had to sit down and talk to the pastor. We don't consider that counseling. Maybe you had to sit down and talk to your parents. And they told you the right from wrong and the best way to go about this. But they listened more than they talked. You did the majority of the talking. And when it was all said and done, they gave you sound advice. Advice that would bless you. So when you think on your testimonies, it should counsel you. Especially when you're going through. They said it was laying off on the job. Now, they never mentioned your position, but they said it was laying off on the job in the company. And you work in the company, so you're considering it could be your position. But you counsel with yourself, because when you look back over your life and you think things over and you see where God done brought you from, when they told you no over here on the left, God made it yes on the right. When they said they couldn't do that for you at the bill collector's office because they didn't do it like that. But they said no, but God said yes. That when you come out with the testimony, you got what you wanted and more. You counsel yourself looking back at your testimonies. Looking at your testimony should counsel you. It should make you feel better. It should make you do better. It should make you better. Psalms 119:59 says, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. See, I thought about it. Now, the light bill people, the electric people, they don't let your bill get past 2 months. I ain't paid the bill in 2 months. If it looked like it's going to be 3 months, I don't have electric money. Now, these my thoughts. But when I think on the goodness of the Lord and when I remember I have not because I ask not, I didn't pray yet. I didn't go to God and discuss it with him. So I'm going, and I remember when my car note was due and they threatened to take my car note, God brought me out at the right time. They extended me another month. And by the end of that month, God had moved and I had the money. I had a better paying job. And when I got paid, I was able to make 2 payments on my car. Huh? I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. Yeah. Because my way is no good. Without him, I can do nothing. What am I thinking about fixing? I got to go to him. And he going to bring me out with a testimony. His testimony. And then I'm going to look back and see what he's done it for me before. Because if he did it back then, he certainly can do it again today. He's the same God. He was that way yesterday. He's that way today. And he will be that way forevermore. Now, he may bring me out in a different way than he did the last time. Nonetheless, I'm coming out. Hallelujah. Listen. Psalms 119:36 says, incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. I'm going to remember what God did for me, and I'm not going to be jealous of nobody else. I'm not going to, If anything, I'm going to praise God for what he gave to them. And I'm next in line. And if I'm not next in line, I yet have what I need. Hallelujah. Listen, Psalm 119:14 says, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimony as much as in all riches. His testimonies that he gave to me, I'm rejoicing. Some he done gave a house on the hill with the dog named Fluffy. And because of sometime you weren't able to know where the mortgage payment was coming from, you was kind of down. But no, lift up your head, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting arms, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, even in bill paying, even in making ways where you see no way. He said, as much as in all riches. And that's how I count my testimonies. I'm rich. I'm full of them. He's done so much for me, I can't tell it all. But the main thing he did when I went to the altar, he washed my sins away. The main thing he showed me is he's a forgiving God. So if I commit anything else and I go to him, he'll wipe that away too. What I can't do, he can do. Because with him, all things are possible. And we're still talking about Testify Friday. Hallelujah. Testifying of his goodness, what he's done for us. Yeah, to talk of God's wonderful works and making known his deeds among the people. It's a super thing. If we can do it daily, it's a big, big thing. He's looking for workers to work in the vineyard. Anybody need a job? You can apply right now. God has saved many, and if each of us that think we are saved began to work for him by sharing what he has done in our lives, many will come to him and stay. And what I mean by stay, keep your mind on him. Study the word of God so you'll know your promises, so you'll know what to do. People will let you know what you shouldn't do. You ain't got it to worry about. The world will tell you what you shouldn't be doing as a believer, as a Christian, a follower of Christ. The world will tell you that. Especially them church folk. I ain't talking about the people of God. I'm talking about church folk. See, the people of God will pray for you when you're going through. They won't condemn you. If anything, they'll say this, we're the first one of us without sin cast the first stone. I can't talk about her because I'm doing some stuff. I can't talk about him because, hey, I got my hand in the lion's mouth. Yes. But we try to perfect it out there like we perfect and we don't have no faults and we don't do no wrong. We just so good. I said without him, we can do nothing. That includes me too. Anything good I've done, God did it. I can't take his glory. I can't take his credit. Like I'm walking. You hear me say, but it's God that do it through me. It's not me walking around popping my collar and, you know, acting like I don't arrive. I ain't made it nowhere yet, but to the altar. I got a ways to go because he's yet leaving me here to get it right with him. So when he returns, I can go back with him. So I have to testify and tell people of the goodness of him, but I also have to testify and tell them what I've gone through, what I'm going through. I'm no angel. I wake up and renew daily with him. So you can wake up in the morning and be somebody else all day long if you want to. It's your choice. But I want to be kept by God. He's a keeper. He will keep us if we want to be kept by him. He won't force it on you. You got to want to be kept. I want to live this life unto him, holy and righteous. But I need him. He gave me his spirit, but I need to pay attention and listen to his spirit. Because sometimes we can override the spirit of God. The Holy Ghost talking to you, you can override that thing. I've done it. Knew it was wrong and did it anyway. Lord, have mercy. It's a sin. It's not a shortcoming, a wrongdoing. It's straight up sin. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. There's quite a few more of them down there that I wanted to read. But we also want to hear the testimonies this morning. And I listened to some and then I didn't want, and I didn't quite get a chance to listen to the other. But I wanted to bring this one in. Well, listen, let me go to this request. And while we listen to the request, I'll find the first testimony.
My family, I hated my country, I hated my life. I was just running away. I got involved with some really bad people in Israel, and I became very wealthy for a small period of time in my life. And my life was just drugs, parties. I used to be kind of like a hippie. I was absolutely fearless. I remember I would wake up in the morning and I'd go and buy a pack of cigarettes. And I put a line of cocaine in each and every single one of them, and I wouldn't leave the house. Before, I had a whole box of Marlboro cigarettes with a line of coke in each and every one of them. My life became a living hell. I was just a mess. I was doing so much drugs, like cocaine and weed, LSD, ecstasy, you name it. I party every night. And one night, I decided I'm going to jump. I came back from a party in Tel Aviv. It was probably like 6 o'clock in the morning. It was an after party. I was living on the second floor and I was hanging off the balcony and I was looking downstairs and I said, I'm going to do it. I'm going to jump. And I was really deciding, okay, this is it. I'm going to jump.
Hi, welcome to Touching the Afterlife. This is Julie, and I'm so excited to bring with us today Talitha. Talitha has such an incredible testimony. You're going to need to grab your coffee, grab your tea, whatever you love to drink, even if you're listening to this and you're doing something. Just don't miss any part of this because it is so engaging. So welcome with me today, Talitha.
Thank you very much for having me on. It's a pleasure to meet you.
Well, Talitha, would you begin with your testimony where you want to begin?
Yes, I think the best way would be to start all the way from the beginning. So I'll just start a little bit with my childhood. I was born in the Netherlands, and since I was a young child, my parents would always take me on holidays to Israel. And I remember the first time I would go to Israel, I would immediately feel home. I would always have a special connection with that country. So when I was 17, a week before my 18th birthday, I decided to quit everything. I had a boyfriend, broke up. I was in college. I stopped everything and I bought a ticket with the help of my grandfather. And I told my parents a week prior to that, I'm moving to Israel. I'm going to volunteer in a kibbutz and I'm never going to come back because I hated my family. I hated my country. I hated my life. I was just running away. And obviously there was a little bit of tension in the family. My mom wasn't happy with the idea, obviously. My dad was very positive about it. He was careless. So in the end of the day, I did. So I moved to Israel. I moved to a kibbutz in the north, Kibbutz Yiftach, right on the border of Lebanon. And I volunteered there. And after the kibbutz, I also volunteered in the Israeli army. They had an organization called Sarel that would put people from all over the world to volunteer on the army bases. You weren't allowed to leave because otherwise you'd be a target. But I was allowed to be on the base and make food packaging and, you know, all that stuff. So after I volunteered in the army, I got involved with some really bad people in Israel. And I don't want to speak about what it is that I did, but I got involved in some really bad activities and I became very wealthy for a small period of time in my life. And I also became addicted to a lot of drugs. My lifestyle was very, very crazy. I ended up living in Israel for 6 years and my life was just drugs, parties. I used to be kind of like a hippie, going to nature parties in the deserts. I drink. I was absolutely fearless because of my childhood. I never really felt loved and I didn't know how to give love, receive love, but I also had no boundaries. I was absolutely careless and fearless. So it was literally party until you drop dead. It got really, really bad. It got to a point where I remember I would wake up in the morning and I'd go and buy a pack of cigarettes and I'd put a line of cocaine in each and every single one of them and I wouldn't leave the house before I had a whole box of Marlboro cigarettes with a line of coke in each and every one of them. I got to that stage. I had a relationship in Israel as well for a year and a half with a man. And we broke up. He was a lovely man, but we broke up because I simply didn't feel worthy. I felt like he was too good for me. I wasn't worthy enough. And I left him. We separated. And after we separated, I fell into a very deep depression. And it got to a point where I was so drugged up and I was so abused. I was also sexually assaulted in the first week on my arrival, which is something I've never mentioned. So anyone, not even my mom knows this. On the first week when I moved to Israel, I was raped. Sorry, I've never talked about this in public. My life became a living hell. I was just a mess. I started having panic attacks as well because of all the drugs. I was doing so much drugs, like cocaine and weed, LSD, ecstasy, you name it. I'd party every night. I'd wake up in places not remembering who I am, what my name was. I had to take sleeping pills as well to balance the drugs out, to just go to sleep. And one night I decided I'm going to jump. I came back from a party in Tel Aviv. It was probably like 6 o'clock in the morning. It was an after party. And I hanged off my balcony. I was living on the second floor. And I had enough. I was very intoxicated. So yeah, I was very drunk and drugs and everything. And I threw my phone on the floor. And I was hanging off the balcony and I was looking downstairs and I said, I'm going to do it. I'm going to jump. And I was really deciding, okay, this is it. God already worked in my life back then because a miracle happened. All of a sudden, my ex that I just broken up with, that I hadn't spoken with for months, he ringed me and he said to me, whatever it is that you're about to do, don't do it. I had a feeling that I needed to call you because I felt something is wrong. Don't do it. And I just broke down in tears. I was such a mess. He came, I told him that I was going to jump. He came to the flat. And yeah, he basically took care of me for a few months. I went to live with him. We didn't sleep together. We didn't have a relationship. He was just looking after me like a baby because I was so broken and so lost and so addicted. And he convinced me after 6 years of having this very reckless lifestyle to go back to the Netherlands. And I really didn't want to go because I'd go right back into hell. But I had no other choice because also I didn't have a visa anymore. I was always able to get a visa, whether through someone or through a relationship. But yeah, so went back to the Netherlands. Wasn't a good idea. Me and my mom, we didn't get along at all, especially after living for 6 years on my own in a country far away, living this life. All of a sudden, I was in this small country town in the Netherlands in my mom's house. So after about a week, someone from Israel told me that she has a friend living in London who offered me a job and I could go and live with him and work in London. He had a restaurant here. So I said, why not? I've got nothing to lose. I barely unpacked my suitcase. And I said to my mom, okay, I'm moving to London. I have a strange man in London who bought me a ticket and I can work for him. He can take me in his house until I sort myself out, whatever. So gone I was. I was in London. Started working in this restaurant, living with this man. And we kind of had a thing going on between us. Wasn't a serious relationship, but he was abusive towards me. And the neighbor that was living downstairs noticed that he was not treating me very well. But obviously, I was dependent on him because he was my boss. He was also my housemate because all of a sudden we'd lived together. And he said to me, why don't you come and move in with me? And I said, okay. So I packed all my stuff and I moved from the third floor to the second floor in with the neighbor. And the neighbor was really nice. And he was a drug dealer and a user, and I loved drugs. And I thought, great, now I don't have to pay for it. So again, same thing in London. We started going to nature parties. I started doing drugs and we were kind of like on and off. I might have gone back to the Netherlands a couple of times for a few weeks and come back. But eventually I became pregnant and it was not something by choice. But as I said, I was reckless. I wasn't careful with these kind of things. So I got pregnant and I got pregnant in the moment where I decided to just end it with him. So, but I had to tell him and I said, listen, I'm pregnant. I'm going to have an abortion. I tried to book an appointment after thinking about it for a while. I did. But just before I went to the appointment of the abortion clinic, I said, let's go to the doctor and see how far I am. And I discovered that I was almost 2 months pregnant. And it was terrible because I was still doing cocaine and drugs and drinking and everything. And, you know, after 6 weeks, there's a heartbeat with the baby. And when they put the scan, when they put the thingy on my belly and I could hear the heartbeat, I just, something inside of me, and this must have been, again, God intervening because I never wanted to have children. I never wanted to live together, get married, nothing. Family, marriage, no. That was like a big no-no for me. But something inside of me told me, this is not your call. I'm not the author of life and death. I knew deep inside that this was wrong, even though I didn't want to stay together with my then boyfriend, dealer, user, whatever. I just couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. So I had the baby. And that was very difficult because after I gave birth, I suffered from a postnatal depression. And that was, yeah, that was not fun. I don't know if people are familiar with what that is, but it's like being afraid with your own child, being in the same room, because I was afraid I was going to harm her. And I had all these thoughts and images in my head of smashing her head against the wall that would just come intrusive. And I didn't understand it. I didn't understand at the time that I had a postnatal depression. And I was also afraid to talk to people about it because I was afraid that if I would tell someone or social service that I'd come and take my baby away. At the same time, I didn't have a good treatment when I was a child. I didn't know how to give, receive, love. All I knew was sex, drugs, rock and roll. I didn't feel love towards my child. I've never been abusive towards her, but I was a very selfish, careless, broken mother. And I said, okay, now I have my baby. We don't have family here in England. His family lives in Israel. My family lives in the Netherlands. I thought, great, now we can move back to Israel. You're going to take me back to Israel, where even though that I had a hellish lifestyle there, I had a lot of friends in Israel. So we got married on the paper for the sake of me getting a visa, and he became my husband. I bought a dress on eBay for like 40 quid. I had only two witnesses. It was a very small wedding. Moved to Israel, and things got even worse. My husband became abusive towards me. It became physical at some point, that his brother had to separate between us, and things escalated. He took the passport of my daughter, and he said to me, you know what, you can F off, but my daughter is staying here. And in Israel, there is this law. If you are married, you need to ask your husband permission to leave the country with the child. Like, I could leave, but because it's his baby as well, you know, I need to ask, this is this law there. And it was an absolute hell because I felt trapped. His family would stick on his side even after I told them what had happened. I was so lonely, and I had this postnatal depression. And I went to the Dutch embassy in Israel, and I told them my story. And they said, well, guess what? You're not the first one. There's many like you. Best thing you can do, play the game along. Be super nice to your husband. Treat him well. Sleep with him. Cook clean. Don't argue until everything is good. And convince him to go to Europe with you, whether on a holiday, because once you cross the border, he can't do anything anymore. And that's what I did. And it was an absolute living hell for 6 months. I played along the game. I slept with my husband while absolutely being disgusted by his presence. I had so much hatred. I remember that I even wished death upon him just so I could get out of this situation. But I played the game along and eventually convinced him to come with me to the Netherlands, which was a very silly idea, but out of desperation for my daughter. And I remember that once we flew to the Netherlands, my mom said, I'm going to invite all of you tickets, you know, for Christmas. And she did, because my mom was aware of this situation and she knew that I was coming with my husband and my daughter. So once we arrived to the Netherlands, I waited until we got to my home. And after playing the good wife for 6 months, I took him to the garden to smoke cigarettes. And then the full load came out and I told him the most horrific things, and I told him, that's it, I'm staying here now. I don't care what you do, I hate you, I don't love you, don't touch me, that's it, I'm never ever going back to Israel, and my daughter's staying with me. So yeah, in the Netherlands itself, things escalated between me and my mother. Things were really bad. Also, my husband didn't get along with my mother, and at some point things got so bad that my husband said, you know what, I'm going to move back to London. I'm going to get a flat there, and I'm going to get a job, because he used to do gardening as well. He used to do gardening, but he also used to do his other dodgy business on the side. And he said, I'm going to set my life up there, and if you want, you can come with your daughter and move in with me. And he went. And after a couple of months, me and my mom, we clinched, and I said, you know what, I still hate my country. I don't want to be here. I'm here all alone. I will go to London. So I did eventually. So I moved in with my husband again. We were together for another year and a half, I guess. And I got to a point where I was so broken from the from the inside, you know, like a lot of abuse and pain, and things got so out of control and I was feeling so miserable that I was thinking to take my own life, and I felt completely unworthy, unloved. And I thought, you know what, this world is better off without me. Even my daughter, she'd be better off without me because I'm a failure, you know. And I started having images in my head of how I was going to do it, options. I could see myself sitting on the doorstep to the garden where I would like take a knife and start cutting like crazy stuff. And it became a reality in my head. And I said, you know what, before I'm going to do this, I'm going to have a chat with God. Because I was never interested in God, religion. I never believed the Bible. I thought there was something, but I didn't know what, but never crossed my mind. Although, in those final years of my marriage, I did realize a lot of evil happening in the world. And this is something that always made me question, where does all this evil come from? Why is the world the way that it is? Why does evil happen to good people? I don't understand it. There must be a reason for it. And I figured out if there is evil, then there must be good. So I said, let's see if there is a God. So one night I put my daughter to sleep. And after I put her to sleep in the bedroom, I went to the living room and my husband was out and about. And I just said, you know, God, if you exist, then you need to show it to me, because if you're not going to show it to me, I'm going to take my life. And I was dead serious. That was the second time. And the second time God intervened, because I kneeled down and I saw a light, a bright light. It became super bright around me. And I felt a hand touching my shoulder and I heard a voice, but it wasn't an audible voice. It was an inner voice, and something said, I am here. And then I just started bawling. I just started crying. I started shaking. I don't remember how long that took, but it took a while. And then I just, when I stopped crying and I got up from the floor, I was in complete shock, because clearly there was a God and it was trying to communicate with me, but which God? I was just completely shocked by the whole experience. So I went to bed. And the next morning when I woke up, I was looking for a playgroup for my daughter. And this was on a weekday, it wasn't on a Sunday. And I was just Googling on my phone playgroups for kids nearby. And it gave me an address. So I took the bus, went there, and it landed me in front of a church. And it was closed. It was a huge church. And I was like, you must be kidding me. And I thought, this might, maybe this is time for God. And it was, but it was closed. So I called the number on Google and I said, I think I'm in the wrong place because I'm standing in front of a church. And they were like, yeah, this is the right place. Just walk around in the back. There's a little room on the side of the church. And that's where we have the play group. It's part of the church organization. I said, okay. So I went there. And when I got in, I started talking to these people and they were super nice. I didn't dare telling anyone about my experience because I thought they must be thinking that I'm crazy. Now I understand these are the only people that probably think this is not weird at all because we believe in God. But I didn't say anything. I just zipped my mouth. And the pastor was there that day with his kids as well. And he said, why don't you come to church on Sunday? And I didn't have anything to lose. And also they told me on Sunday they have like this Sunday school for little kids, so you can drop your daughter and maybe she'll like it. So I said, okay, why not? So when I came home, I told my husband, and he's Jewish Israeli, I'm going to church on Sunday. And he was looking at me like if I have lost my mind. But he didn't care. He was like, do whatever you want, you know. And I did. I went to the church and I was wearing ripped jeans, shaven head, lots of jewelry, crop top. I looked like a junkie, like honestly, like I just walked out of a punk bar. Went like that to the church, dropped off my daughter in Sunday school, sat down, and the whole lecture was about why Jesus Christ died for our sin. And as I was sitting there, I was listening to that. And I thought, these people are absolutely insane. They're crazy. Like, honestly, why does God, if one of the commandments is you shall not murder, why does God murder his own son? Why does blood need to be shed for my sin? I'm a sinner. I'm a bad person after everything that happened to me. I'm just being like abused and hurt all the time. And I'm a sinner. So I thought, no, this is not right. So I went after the service up to the pastor and I asked him, like, honestly, what is this? Is this some kind of blood ritual? Like, what's wrong with you people? And he gave me a really bad answer. And yeah, so I still felt nothing. And I kept on going just for the sake of my daughter to go to this Sunday school. And after a couple of weeks, I stopped going. They did give me a Bible. So I had a Bible and I was starting to read it just a little bit here and there. I always found prophecies very interesting because of what things that were happening in the world. But I didn't really take it seriously. And also because I was married to a Jewish man, he had a lot of friends and some of them were religious and they introduced me to rabbis. And they are incredibly smart. They have answers for everything. So I started listening to rabbis and I slowly started converting to Judaism. So here I am, married to a secular Israeli Jew, and now I'm living like an Orthodox Jew. Very, my husband really thought that I completely lost it because I started covering myself. I started keeping the Shabbat. I started listening to all these Torah classes online. And he eventually said to me, listen, I'm concerned for your mental health. I think you're going mental and I'm seriously worried about you. And I was just digging for the truth, man. And eventually I ended up, because when I was doing all this Shabbat and this and rabbis, I still felt empty. I knew that God existed, but I didn't know which God. And then eventually I discovered the Jewish Roots Movement and I thought, great, this is a mix of both of them, you know. So I got into that, ended up going to a Messianic Congression. So it's like a church on the Saturday where they do believe in Yeshua, the Messiah, but they keep all the Jewish holidays and whatever. So I started doing that. And at the same time, my marriage just deteriorated so badly. It became so toxic that I decided to leave. And I did. I moved in a very small studio flat on my own. And I thought, great. Now I have all the time in the world to do my homework. I started studying the Bible and I started reading and listening to conspiracies and whatever. And at the same time, when I started looking for this on this journey, because at the time I was so confused, like who is speaking the truth and who is not. And for me, Jesus was the biggest no-no. Like I accepted the Old Testament at some point and I knew that there was truth, maybe a little bit to the new, but Jesus is God. No, this is not possible. This is not possible. At the same time, I was meeting a friend from work. I used to work as a waitress part-time in a restaurant and Charlotte. And she invited me to go to this place called Metalwork. She introduced me. So after we finished working, she said, I discovered this place called Metalworks. And this is a rock community of metalheads, long hair, bearded man with lots of tattoos, playing all kind of metal and hard rock, AC/DC and all that stuff. And I started going there very often and they would play every Sunday night. And that kind of like became my new church, you know, the Sunday night. So I go to Metalworks and I started seeing a guy. He was a beautiful guy, Italian dude with long hair, looks like a rock star, very, very talented singer. And yeah, we were kind of like dating on and off. And this man, he had a very, very dark presence over him. He was obsessed with Lucifer. He was wearing a pentagram always around his neck and on his belt. And he wanted to have Lucifer tattooed on his back. And he even told me once, I want to take you to Scotland to show you the statue of Lucifer. And once, I will never forget that moment, he just like shoved his face in my face and he said, I want your mind, your body and your soul. But like in such a creepy way that I will never, ever forget it. He wasn't a Satanist, or at least not claimed to be a Satanist. He was a rock singer. But he was super nice. Don't get me wrong, because, you know, Satan masquerades as an angel of light. I do understand that now after many hard lessons. And he was always very nice to me, very respectful. And yeah, we had a lot of fun. Something inside of me told me something is not right here. And what I actually forgot to mention is that when I started digging in the Bible in the last year of my marriage, before I moved on my own, I started suffering from my first sleeping paralysis. And I remember that I went to sleep one day on the sofa to have a nap. And this is the first time this happened to me. And I had no idea what it was. And I opened my eyes and I realized the presence of something dark was pinning me down on the sofa. And it was so strange because at the time I was digging in the Bible, Jewish roots movement and whatever. And I couldn't move, but I was fully conscious. And in my head, because I couldn't scream, I started screaming out the name of Jesus. It just happened. Jesus, Jesus. And boom, it let me go. And I thought that was very, very strange. And these attacks, every time I would really dig deep for the truth and I pray a lot and I'd read the Bible, I mentioned these things started happening to me. I also had, even when I was still married with my ex-husband, that I stepped into the shower and the face of a demon, like literally, like let's say this is the shower, it came out of the wall, like in my face. And I thought, what in the world is this? And much more crazy stuff, that wind started blowing in the living room, even though the windows and everything was shut. And that only happened after I went to that church, that somebody gave me a Bible, I started reading it, and then Jewish with all that stuff. And when I started dating this guy from Metalworks, I was in a spiritual warfare, but I didn't understand it at the time because I had zero knowledge about what spiritual warfare was. I didn't know anything. I knew, yeah, Jesus loves you and, you know, we're sinners, and but I knew nothing, nothing. So these attacks became more prominent because I found it strange that all of a sudden I was dating a guy who was obsessed with Lucifer, but he was very charming, he was very nice, he was very popular and talented and all that stuff, but there was just that dark thing. And one day I had an outer body experience where I went to sleep and actually this guy was sleeping next to me. And in the middle of the night, I woke up with my eyes open and I realized I'm awake. Then I left my body, my soul or my spirit. I went to the corner of my room, of the studio flat that I was living in at the time. And I was looking at myself sleeping. And while I was looking at myself sleeping next to my boyfriend on the bed, I saw the face of a demon. It was about, I don't know, I don't know if you can see it, this big. And it was just the head had kind of like an oval black shape. And it was very angry. And it was right in front of my face on the bed. And it was harassing me. It was blowing anger in my face. It was going like that. And at the same time, I heard a voice coming from the other side saying, you're on the right track. You need to keep on going. You need to keep on going. You're on the right track. It was like I was seeing light and dark. And this was so, so crazy. All that stuff started happening to me. And, you know, I went to that Messianic Congression at the time. So I was going to this Metalworks place in the evening. And in Saturday, I was going to the Saturday church. And I told people in the Saturday church that I was seeing this guy and it was something very demonic over him, whether he was aware of that or not. I don't think so. And this guy told me from the church, we should all pray for him. So they started praying for him and for me. And they said, you know, anyway, you're not married. You're not meant to be in this relationship. And crying, praying, went back home, took the soup, got back home. And then this guy calls me up and he's like, where have you been? And he knew I was going to the Saturday church. And I told him, I've been to the church. And he said, he wouldn't believe me. All of a sudden he said, no, you're cheating on me. And I said, no, I just came back from the church. And he's like, no, you're cheating on me. You're cheating on me. You're cheating on me. He went absolutely nuts. And we didn't argue. We didn't fight. This came out of nowhere. And then he just hang up the phone. And after that, I get two messages on the WhatsApp, voice messages. And it's like his voice changed. I got one message, and I will rephrase what I can. It said, this is a message for the person who lives inside my Talita. Get out of that soul. You're in the wrong body. And give my Talita back. I know you can hear me. Get out of that soul. And then he said a swear word. And after that, I got another message that literally he said to me, amen, Satan. And I said, okay, this is not okay. So obviously we broke up. And after all these experiences, I got so angry with God because, you know, I was trying to look for the truth and then it started storming in my life. And I didn't feel like I deserved this. I just, and also we prayed, and then the next day I broke up with this guy. So I thought God had taken him away from me, and he did. And praise the Lord, thank you for doing that, because he protected me. But I didn't say it that way because I had no idea about the Bible, spiritual warfare, whatever. And you know what? Instead of continuing looking for God, I took all my Bibles, and I had a lot of Bibles in different translations because I was in all kind of conspiracies as well. And I speak four languages. So I had a Bible in German, in Dutch, in Hebrew, in English, different. I had a whole collection by that time. And I took all of it, put it in a bag, and I gave it to the charity shop next to my home, and I said, enough, enough. I'm not doing this anymore. I cursed God out loud in my studio, and I said, I hate you. Go away from me. I don't want to have anything to do with you anymore. And after that experience, I got into the New Age spirituality, but like full on. And I convinced myself that you create your own reality, and that's such a deep and clever deception of the enemy that, you know, there is no ultimate truth, you know, and that way no one is right and no one is wrong because you create your own reality with your thoughts. And I thought maybe I needed a reason to believe because I was so depressed, I was so miserable. And I convinced myself that I manifested all these things because I wanted it to be true. So I really thought that these things that God showed me, all this stuff that happened to me that didn't happen, I just completely, I chose to be willfully blind at that point. And this is a very dangerous thing to do. I understand now. So I rebelled against God. And I started listening to Louise Hay, Wayne Dyer, all these self-help gurus. I wrote on my mirror, I am enough, with red lipstick. I was doing self-manifestation, got into the Silva mind control method as well. I started doing Wim Hof breathing. I started exercising, cold showers, doing Qigong. I was doing so much stuff. And you know what? It worked. It really worked because I got incredibly fit. I started teaching Pilates. Eventually, I became a personal trainer. I was teaching HIIT and Pilates. I became super healthy. I became super fit. Stopped going, obviously, to that Messianic church on the Saturday. Completely ignored that. I said, I will never talk about that again. I will never go down that path again, because when I go to God, my life gets this crushed. And guess what? After a while, the man of my dreams walked into my life. Now, I am willing to say now, this is the refined version of boyfriend number one, which I now understand because God made it very clear. The enemy knows my weaknesses, and I have a weakness for rock stars, dating tall men, beautiful Latino men with long hair that are talented and charming, you know. So yeah, number two walks into my life. And I fell madly in love with this man because he was gorgeous and talented and super kind, super calm. It was almost too good to be true. And now I understand it was, because I remember even saying to one of my good friends, man, this is too good to be true. I had a relationship like fairy tales in the movies. We never fight. We never argue. He was this popular, beautiful Latino musician. I was the popular fitness girl. We were the perfect couple. A lot of people used to envy us and say, wow, we got it all together, you know, and whatever. And yeah, my life for the first time after everything I went through went well. And I said, wow, this is it. You know, oh boy, did I know. And then the pandemic happened. And when the pandemic happened, something inside of me started pulling. And I could see the evil that is happening around us in the world. And I had a little bit of knowledge about biblical prophecy, the New World Order. And I dived down the rabbit hole again. And when I heard the words Build Back Better and the Great Reset, alarm bell started ringing in my head. So I knew about the beast system, the Antichrist system. And also prior to that, I was a little bit into conspiracies because I used to be part of this metalworks community, this rock and roll community, and I could notice a lot of satanic symbolism. I could notice that people in the music industry, because I was always dating musicians, are obsessed with the occult, like the Baphomet. And all the songs are always about empathy for the devil. I'm on the highway to hell. No, nothing about God, righteous, holy. And I picked up on that already. So So I started going down the conspiracy rabbit hole big time during the pandemic. And then God was drawing me. Something inside of me told me I need to go come back to God. And I really didn't want to. I was afraid to touch that part of my past. But I couldn't ignore this feeling. And I said, oh, no. What if everything that happened to me, all these things that God showed me, what if they really happened and I didn't imagine that? What if all these demons, all these sleeping paralysis and all this crazy stuff, well, what if this actually, well, what if it's true? So I said, you know what, I need to go on my knees and repent. And I felt very embarrassed. So again, I went on my knees in the living room and I felt so ashamed. I knew I messed up because deep inside I knew it, but I was just ignoring it because I had built this perfect fake life. And I just said to God, like, God, I'm so sorry. If you are real, then you need to make it crystal clear to me because I cannot go through all that stuff again. I need you to help me and to show me the truth. And I'm sorry that I walked away from you, basically. And I also told God, maybe you aren't real, but I'm not sure. I'm very confused at this point. Maybe I'm going insane again. So I just told God the truth, how I felt. Lo and behold, what happened the next day? Guess what? I went to my boyfriend, the beautiful musician boyfriend. We had a barbecue and I started talking to him. I was slightly drunk, not very drunk. I was tipsy. And I was talking to him about the circumstances in the pandemic and that I could see and feel that something is off and it's not right. And he got really, really angry with me. And I was interrupting him multiple times speaking and he couldn't stand it. And the things just blew up. He threw me out at like 1 o'clock in the morning out of his house. It's like a demon came out of him. And imagine, we had a fairy tale relationship. Everything was perfectly well. We never fight. We never argue. Everything. He's the most calmest Zen guy you can imagine. Never raises his voice, never gets upset. Mr. Perfect, right? And that night, it's like God showed me a different side because he got so angry at me for telling him that I think something is not right with the world because I told him the world is not what we think it is. I truly believe there's something wrong. God started slightly opening my eyes and he got very angry. He just dragged me down the hallway by my arm, pushed me out of the door, and that was it. It was really, really bad. So we broke up. And I said to myself, okay, let's get this straight. Everything goes super well in my life. I have my fitness business that I was setting up. It was in the beginning, so it wasn't super popular. Okay, you know, I'm got super fit. I have this lovely boyfriend and I'm popular and I go to all these gigs and honestly, and now I pray. And the day after I break up with my boyfriend and I thought to myself, maybe this is a sign from God. But this time I didn't get angry with God. This time I said, I need to be careful with my moves here. And I think deep inside, I knew that the Bible was true. I just was rebelling against it. Oh boy, I am so stubborn. So we separated for about 3 weeks. And in those 3 weeks, I decided to take the time to go back to God. So I bought my Bible again from W.H. Smith online. I remember I was very scared to buy that Bible because I knew if I'm going to buy it, probably things are going to happen. And guess what? They did. So I bought the Bible and I started reading the Bible again and praying. And something other strange happened to me. I went to meet a friend for a drink in a bar because that was during the pandemic where we could go out, but we had to sign in and you had to book it and whatever. But things started opening up. So we went to a bar. I had one beer. And then all of a sudden, I didn't feel like staying. I wanted to go back home. So I just told her, listen, I need to go back home. I wanted to go back home. Okay, fine. Went back home. I was sober, wasn't tipsy, drunk, nothing. And I had a journal and I would write a lot of things. And because so many things had happened in my life, I said, I'm just going to have to write it down. I was going to write down my thoughts about everything that happened because I like to write because it's like a therapy. If I write stuff on the paper, then I can just let go of it. So I took my pen and my journal And I started writing, but I realized that I wasn't writing. And I know it sounds absolutely mad, but I was holding the pen and I was writing it, but it wasn't me writing. Something else was writing through me. Some people call this automatic writing. And I believe God put a thought in my head and I wrote that down. That God just spoke to me in that moment and I wrote down whatever I got, this inner voice said. This is the only thing I can say, but God can make the impossible possible. We can't put him in a box. He can do whatever he wants. So after I wrote a few sentences down on this in my journal, I looked at it and I said, what did I just write? And it said, literally, you are a child of God and you need to come back to me. No matter what you've done in the past, I love you. And I said to myself, what in the world is happening to me? I literally, in that moment, I thought I was dreaming. I even pinched myself and I could feel it, but I thought I was dreaming. I thought this is not possible. So I decided to put this journal on the table. And if it was there in the next day when I'd wake up, I knew it wasn't a dream. So that's what I did. I put the journal, went to sleep, woke up in the morning, went back to the living room, and it was still there. Mm-hmm. So then I knew, okay, this is not a joke. I asked God for a sign. There was my sign. He couldn't be more clear with me. So after 3 weeks, that happened in that 3 weeks that we were broken up, that I took the time to reconcile with God, apologize. And I called my ex-boyfriend because he kind of regret what he did. He felt out of control because of what happened. And he was trying to get in contact with me. He wrote me a couple of letters to my work. And I said, okay, let's call him. So I called him. And this is the first time, and we'd already been together there for like a year and a half. I never, ever released anything about my past that had to do with God. Never, never. But I decided to go and speak to him about God, that I used to be religious. I used to live like a Jew. And then I start telling him about, you know, the outer body experience and also about my ex and all these things happening to me. And, you know, I started talking to him about it. And he seemed very acceptant of it. And he even said to me once, like, baby, if you become a Muslim tomorrow, I will love you and support you no matter what you do. And I said, great, great. So we decided to get back together, but I did tell him that from now on, God is in charge of me. I'm no longer in control. God is in control. And I wasn't even born again at the time. I said so much stuff to him that after I said it, I said, what did I just say? Very strange. So anyhow, we got back together. Everything is all right. And then I started praying to God and I said, like, God, I need you to send me people because definitely not my friends from this rock and roll metal community. And that was my life. I've been part of that community for about 10 years. All my good friends were from this community. They would invite me for barbecues, for gigs. We'd meet each other in every pub and bar and gig that you could think of in London. So, yeah, these people, obviously, I couldn't tell them about these things that happened in my life. So I just prayed to God. And lo and behold, after a couple of days, I found a good church, like a solid Bible-believing church, like a three-minute walk from my house. And I found it by coincidence, obviously not. Very funny how I found it. I went to a playground just behind my house with my daughter and a friend of mine. And I always take the same route. But that day, my friend had to go shopping somewhere and she said, don't you want to come with me? So I walked a different route because she asked me, do you want to walk with me? And I live in a very Orthodox Jewish neighborhood in London. And that street where my church is an ultra Orthodox neighborhood. So I said, okay, I'll walk with you. And I noticed something strange because my church does not look like a church. It's just a regular building. And I'm walking there and I realize this is a very Orthodox neighborhood. Only ultra Orthodox Charedim live here, and there is this building and it has a big sign in front of it that says Jesus is the Messiah. And I looked at my friend and I said, this is so weird because the Jews don't believe, they don't like Jesus. So I took a picture of it, and the same day I went home, looked on the website, and they have a YouTube channel, and I started watching their lectures, and it was all about biblical prophecy, and they were linking today's events to the Bible, to what is how it's linking with what's happening in the world. They're a very, very good biblical sound doctrine church, and I was just obsessed with watching it. And I found out that this church has a this month in prophecy lecture every last Sunday of the month in the evening. And I was working at the time every Sunday morning. So I said, great, I'm going to go. So I would only attend the prophecy lectures once a month in the evening. And I'd literally come into the church. I'd skip the singing part. I'd be like half an hour late because I didn't want to sing for the Lord. You know, I was like, oh, you weird Christians, whatever. I didn't fully accept it. I believed in God, but I wasn't a Jesus freak or, you know, like these born again Christians. So I went there, heard the lecture, and then just run out. Don't talk to me. Don't talk to me. I was just testing the waters. But eventually I started going more often. Then I stopped working on the Sunday. My boss no longer needed me on the Sunday. So I started going in the morning, and they had a Sunday school. And my daughter absolutely fell in love, or was obsessed with the church and Jesus and Sunday school. God really put a zeal in her for Jesus before me. Because she, if anybody would ask my daughter, what's your favorite thing, the church, the Sunday school, honestly. So she loved going to Sunday school. And I said, great, it's great entertainment. So at some point I was going every Sunday in the morning. But then in the evening, I would go to Metalworks, to my other church, you know, with my rock and roll boyfriend and, you know, smoking weed, drinking, fornicating. So I was kind of like double-minded. I didn't understand what it means to follow Jesus and surrender your all, that you'd kind of like stop, well, not kind of, you just stop living for you. You don't do what you want, you do what God wants. Mm-hmm. Whether you like it or not, his ways are better than ours.
Yes.
But still did I know. So I remember that in that time, God started doing the work in me already, and I didn't know it because I didn't want to go out anymore so often. At some point, I wanted to go only to the gigs of my boyfriend because he's kind of like a blues musician, blues rock, but he does his own music. So it's not demonic, satanic, whatever. So I said, you know, I'll just go to your gigs just for the sake of supporting you, being there. But I didn't want to go to Metalworks anymore because it is truly satanic. And I remember that one of the last times I was there, this is already after I started going to that church for about a year, I went there, I was standing in the crowd next to my boyfriend, and all of a sudden, it's like God revealed the truth to me, because I could feel death around me everywhere. I started feeling demonic forces around me in that place. I started panicking, and I had a full-blown panic attack in the middle of the crowd. And something inside of me said to me, you don't belong here, get out. So I started crying and I told my boyfriend, I need to go home. He wanted to come with me because clearly you could see I was having a panic attack. He asked me what happened. I said, you cannot come with me. I need to go home. And even when I run out, my friends saw me that were smoking outside. They said, hi, Talita, what's going on? I was like, I need to go home. I need to go home. I need to go home. And I just got home and I just broke down because I could feel evil around me everywhere. And that was one of the last times I went to Metalworks. So I didn't want to go anymore. Then one day in the morning on Sunday, I walked to the church and I was having a conversation with my daughter about, I don't remember about what, about something irrelevant. And all of a sudden I hear a voice. It's like a thought being put in my head that tells me you need to get baptized here. And I'm thinking to myself, what? Just a voice, very intrusive. Get baptized here. Get baptized in this church. And I stopped talking to my daughter. And even my daughter said, Mommy, are you all right? What's happening? And I said to her, I don't know. I have this thought in my head that I need to get baptized in this church. And I kind of like tried to ignore it. And I said, whatever, continue talking to my daughter. Sat down in the church. And the moment I sat down, literally 1 or 2 seconds after that, the screen went on and it said the importance of baptism. And the whole lecture was about baptism, about how important it is to get baptized once you are an adult and you give your life to Jesus publicly. And after that, the pastor said, is there anyone here that feels called by the Lord to get baptized? Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, I had accepted as Jesus. I believed by that time, I believed the Bible. I knew Christianity was true, but I hadn't made Jesus Lord of my life. I wasn't living in obedience to God. I was still doing my own thing, but I believed it. So just because of that voice, I said, yeah, me, I'm going to get baptized. And said, great, in a few weeks we have baptisms coming up. Come and get baptized. Okay, fair enough. So I got baptized. And after I got baptized, my life was completely upside down. It started storming again in my life. Everything that could go wrong went wrong apart from my relationship. So I started having these crazy labor pains that came out of nowhere, and I would have them once a week, twice a week. I had them every month, and these were very heavy pains that came out of nowhere. And it would sometimes stay for 24 hours, sometimes for an hour, sometimes for 5 hours. And no matter how many painkillers I took, it wouldn't go away. And I even went to the hospital. I thought I had a condition called endometriosis, had myself checked. I did scans, blood tests, and all the doctors said, you are perfectly fine. And I didn't understand all of a sudden. And I'd like also to mention that after I got baptized, every time I tried to sleep with my boyfriend, which was my boyfriend at the time already for like 3 years, I was in pain. And this is kind of the first time it triggered these cramps, and they kept on coming back. So never had that problem before. This was after I was baptized. So that all of a sudden became a weird thing because I was having this pain all the time. I started having problems with my neighbor. I had a neighbor that was living there already for almost a year, never had a problem. After I got baptized, she started harassing me. She would wait for me to come home, literally wait for me to leave or come home, and she would open and close her door, and she would start laughing very demonically at me, almost like a witch, like like crazy, crazy stuff. And she would throw buckets of water out of her window, trying even on my daughter. Every time I would wake up in the night, I would go to the toilet. She would turn the light on. She was properly stalking me to such an extent that I got really ill. And I never get ill. I get ill maybe once every 6 years. I never get flu, fever. Like I have probably a good immune system. And I'm also very healthy because I was doing intermittent fasting and cold showers and all this stuff. So I got ill. I got really ill. And every time I'd cough and I was struggling to breathe, she would imitate me coughing at night. And that went on for like 2 weeks. And I just thought, what in the world is happening? I'm having these cramps. I'm having my neighbor harass me. My fitness business didn't work out anymore. People started canceling. I was advertising it everywhere. I was trying to grow it. All of a sudden, customers disappeared. It wasn't picking up. I had problems with the father of my daughter. I mean, so much stuff happened to me. I started having nightmares again. I started dreaming, and it's almost like in my sleep, I would shift between two realms, and I could see demons. So strange, like all this stuff was happening to me, and I didn't understand why, because I thought to myself, you know, I got baptized, I'm reading the Bible, I'm going to the church, and everything was going wrong. Like the enemy really didn't want me to let me go. And one night, I had a sleeping paralysis again, and that is something that hadn't happened to me for quite a while. And I remember, again, waking up in the middle of the night, and I could feel such demonic presence around me, and I tried to lift myself up, and I couldn't. And I started praying to God and calling on the name of Jesus, and boom, it let me go immediately, just like the first time. So I knew that there was power in the name of Jesus, and I knew that the Bible was real, but I didn't understand why these things kept happening and why I didn't have peace. I didn't have peace. Everything that I tried to do on my own power didn't work. And every time I tried to open a door, God would close that door. And people would always think like, you can't finish it. Because every time I'd start something new, a project for my fitness or business, whatever, I would never finish it. And it's not because I couldn't finish it. God was preventing me from doing it. And people would say, you never finish things.
Mm.
You know, it's hard to explain that to people who are not believers, but I didn't know it at the time. I didn't know it at the time. And also the enemy still had a grip on my life because I was smoking weed, getting drunk, going to gigs. I was fornicating. I was still swearing while I was sitting in a church being baptized and whatever, you know. Mm. So after this sleeping paralysis, I got so upset again with God because I said, okay, I'm doing what you're telling me to do. You told me to get baptized. So I'm doing that. What else do you want? So I got upset. And guess what I did? After everything that God showed me, I'm so sorry, Lord. Like, I'm really stubborn. I went back to meditation, even though that I knew that it was bad, but I was willfully rebelling this time. Like, honestly, I was fully aware that meditation was an occult practice. And I said, I just need to have quiet because everything is storming again. I don't understand. And I was like ready to convince myself again that I'd gone crazy. Honestly, I was going to do the same loop. The enemy had me do the same loop. And the funny thing is, this the only thing that went well with my relationship. The only thing. Everything else was going wrong. So I started meditating. I stopped going to the church that I had been baptized. I stopped going for like 2 or 3 weeks. And even my daughter, she said, Mommy, why are you meditating? You told me that's demonic. You're not supposed to do that. And I was trying to justify it. And she was like, you shouldn't be doing that. And after 3 weeks that I didn't go to the church and God had really put his zeal on my daughter to love Sunday school, she said to me, Mommy, we need to go to church. And she was like, I don't care what you say. You have to take me to church. And I really didn't want to go. So we went to the church. And I hated all of a sudden. I really didn't want to go after I'd been going there for over a year. But I went anyway. And in the end of the service, broke down in tears. And I could feel the presence of God coming over me, convicted me. And told me again, Talita, you need to keep going. You need to come back to me. And I just started bawling. I tried to make sure that nobody would see that from the right or the left. I kind of like tried to cover up my tears because everybody knew me that time. I didn't want to tell people anything. And at that moment, I realized I was playing with fire and I repented. But I was just tired, man. I was just so tired of everything happening in my life. Also with these cramps, I thought, what if I can't teach fitness anymore? I have endometriosis or this condition, like honestly, my life is going to collapse. And I was just so tired. And the funny thing is that on the way back home that day after Sunday, I met a woman on the street and she just started randomly telling me how dangerous the New Age is and meditation, and that she has a friend that went mental after attending an ashram in India, and that she used to be in the New Age and she got out of it and Jesus saved her life. And I said, what are the odds? Honestly. So that Sunday, when I came back home after the morning service, after speaking to that lady, I actually was supposed to go to a gig. I was supposed to go to a gig in the evening. And before that, I was supposed to go to a barbecue of one of my friends from Metalworks. They invited me, you know, it's the regular thing we did. So I had kind of like a whole day lined up, like church in the morning, picnic with Metalworks, and then a gig in the evening. Not very biblical for a Sunday, but yeah, that's what my life used to look like. But after all these things happened to me, I was so angry and so desperate for God because I had a feeling like I need to do something and I don't know what it is. And I always used to tell that to people, like, I have this feeling that I need to do something and I don't know what it is. And it was driving me mad. I said this so many times to my ex-boyfriend as well, and I just didn't get it. It was like I was running in circles, and nothing was working out. So what I did is, again, I decided to have a serious talk with God. So I canceled the barbecue. I canceled the gig. And in the evening, I started having a serious conversation with God. I started shouting at God because I was so tired. I was so angry and I was so desperate for God at the same time. So I remember saying to God, what do you want from me? I was just like sitting here out loud in my living room. My neighbor must have thought I was going crazy. And I was like, I'm doing all this thing. I'm telling you all the time. Everything you're telling me, I'm doing it. Going to the church, I got baptized, I'm praying, I don't know, everything is going wrong, and why do these things happen to me? Sleeping paralysis, given me all these abilities, all these talents, I'm not allowed to use them, like, what do you want from me? And then I started crying out and saying, God, you need to show me the truth, and I need a massive intervention in my life, because otherwise I'm going to break, I don't know. And I really meant it. I like poured out my heart with so much anger towards God, where I kind of like came to the realization, I need God to take over. you know, and I wouldn't let him because I was still doing my own thing. But I didn't know it or I didn't get it because I was still kind of like half blind. So that night, everything changed because I woke up a different person. That night, I went to sleep and I woke up in the middle of the night. Must have been, I don't know, 3, 4 a.m. in the morning. And a thought was being put in my head, or it was an inner voice that said, your relationship is sinful in nature. You cannot continue doing that. And I was thinking to myself, why in the world am I awake in the middle of the night thinking about my relationship, that it's sinful in nature and I cannot continue the relationship as it is? Because that was the only thing that was working out for me. So, but God red-pilled me that night and he removed the blinders. And the next day, I knew immediately why, because it was a worldly relationship and I understood. I just understood it. Like literally God opened my eyes and I was so convicted about my sin. I could see through the lens of God and I could see my sin. I knew sleeping with my boyfriend was wrong. I just knew it. And I understood that, you know, God doesn't have to adjust himself according to my desires and my will and my lifestyle. I have to adjust myself according to his will and in his time. And I wasn't doing that. I wasn't living to serve God. I was my own God. And I had so many idols, my relationship, my fitness, you know. And that became very clear. And I felt so guilty and so convicted. It's unbelievable. Anyhow, that was the first night. Second night, I go to bed. And in the middle of the night, I wake up. And a voice, again, in my head, tells me, you need to stop your fitness. Because there's a different plan for you. And again, I'm thinking like, I loved fitness. And I'm thinking, why am I awake in the middle of the night thinking that I need to quit my fitness? Very, very strange. Anyway, I forgot about it, woke up the next day. And then the third night, again, I wake up in the middle of the night with my eyes wide open. And this time with a scripture in my head. And it said Ephesians 1:6. And I knew Ephesians was a book in the Bible, but I didn't know exactly what it was about. I might have read some verses here or there, but I never really studied, and I couldn't quote verses from the top of my head. So that voice became so intense that I went to my living room, took the Bible, went to the book of Ephesians, and I said, okay. Ephesians, maybe I need, because the voice said Ephesians 1:6. So I said, okay, maybe Ephesians 1:6. So I'm reading that and nothing spoke to me there that I said like, wow, this is something. Now it does, but not at the time. So I was thinking, you know, I'm already here. Why don't I just go and read and see what this whole book Ephesians is about? So I started reading Ephesians. And when I came to the final chapter, I realized that Ephesians has 6 chapters. So now I had read Ephesians 1:6. And the Bible, as I was reading it, explained to me what was happening to me. It's like God pushed a button in my head and I all of a sudden could understand what it said. And it's about becoming a new creation in Christ, how the old dies and you live in the spirit. And you put on the new self and you no longer live for yourself and according to the ways of this world. And it's also about this spiritual warfare, you know, like you wrestle not against flesh and blood. And that spoke. So all of a sudden I could understand that I was in a massive spiritual warfare and it had been going on for a good 7 years. Well, probably more than that since I moved to Israel. So I realized that I was in a spiritual warfare and I said to myself, okay, let's get this straight. I need to stop my relationship. I need to stop fitness. And I'm in a spiritual warfare that became crystal clear. And I could see my sin. I could see what I had done with my life. God widely opened my eyes, my spiritual eyes. So I sent an email to the church. I was actually teaching Pilates inside a church. I was renting different venues where I was teaching in the evening. And I sent an email saying, like, you know, from next week on, the room is available again. I'm not going to teach you anymore because God has a different plan in my life. And this guy thought I probably gone a little cuckoo. I didn't even know if he was Christian or not. He sent me an email back saying, like, hey, are you okay? Is everything all right? Why all of a sudden you want to quit your fitness? I told him to keep the money because I've already prepaid for a whole term. And I said, just keep the money. I need to stop. And I said, yeah, I'm fine. God told me that he has a different plan for me. So yeah, just it's available. Forget about it. And I also knew that I had to speak to my boyfriend. And how was I going to tell him this? Because this came kind of like out of the blue. So I went to the church on Sunday, and after the Sunday, I told him to meet me in the park, and we did. And then I just dropped the bomb, and I told him, listen, what you and me are doing right here is not okay. And then I told him, I have a vision of a godly relationship. I want a relationship on God's term. But yeah, what you and me, this whole thing, because we didn't live together. I was always the one that said, I don't want to get married. I don't want to have kids. I don't want to have lived together. I never wanted to have any strings attached to anybody or nothing, you know. And he was super cool with that because he was the rock musician, you know, touring, going. And we were kind of like part-time boyfriend, girlfriend. And the entire relationship was based on just feelings, emotions, attractions, nothing godly there. We'd drink, we'd have sex, we'd talk, listen to music, have fun, and that was it. There was no foundation whatsoever. And it was convenient to me for a while because I liked having my own control, my space, and for him as well. But then all of a sudden, I switched. And I switched so radically, so quickly, that it shocked him, and he was overwhelmed. And I can totally understand it as well. Like, whoa, what happened to my girlfriend? I was a different person. So he asked me, what should we do? Should we live together? He was very, very shocked. And I decided I was going to fast on it. So I went on a fast, which is very strange because some you need to fast. And I never fasted before. I didn't even know the power of fasting. All of a sudden, I just felt like I need to fast. So I guess God wanted me. He called me to do so. So I just was obedient. I knew by now, like, you don't want to mess with God. So God tells me to do something, I go and do it. So I fasted for 2 days and I was waiting for an answer from God. And on the third day, when I met my boyfriend, he asked me, so did you get an answer? And I didn't. I didn't get any answer from God because sometimes God doesn't answer immediately and you don't know what he's doing in the background. It's a yes, a no, or wait. And God didn't answer me. So on the third day when I met him, I told him, I didn't get an answer. He said to me, I need a yes or a no. I love you. I want to be with you. I need to know what you want. And then I told him, I can't answer you because it's not about me and what I want. It's about God and what God wants. And he got really upset when I said that. And obviously I was madly in love with this man, but it wasn't about me anymore. I wouldn't dare going against God's will. And I knew that what we were doing wasn't all right. So he walked out, he was really upset, and my world once again came crashing down because, okay, my boyfriend is upset, my fitness is gone, I'm in a warfare, like honestly, after everything I went through, everything come crashing down again. So I panicked, I called my pastor from work, and I said to him, listen, my world is collapsing. I need to speak to you. And this was during a weekday. And he said, okay, can you meet me today in the evening in the church? So I said, yeah, fine. So I went to meet him in the evening, went to the church, and he brought another few ladies with him. And we all met in the office. And I was, at that point, I was so shocked by everything that happened in my life. Because God gave me 3 revelations in a row telling me this needs to go, and you're in a spiritual warfare. And I understood, like, I need to give my all to Christ. I can't play games and have 1 foot in the world and 1 foot out because I was being double-minded. And the Bible is pretty clear on it, you know. God wants full commitment, not only when it's convenient. And that's what I've been doing for such a long time. And I understood the cost. I understood it. So when I sat down on the chair in the office with the ladies and the pastor, I was about to throw all my stuff on top of them. And before I did, the pastor said, before you start speaking, can I say a thing, one thing? And I said, sure, you can. And he said, before I came to the church, I started praying for you in my car, and God put two things on my heart. He said, there's a problem with your boyfriend. There's a spiritual issue there. And Ephesians 1:6. And my mouth just dropped open, and I started bawling, because then I knew, like, this is not a joke, because God has confirmed it through somebody else. And I started just crying, and I was so scared. I was so scared. I didn't want to give up the love of my life. I didn't want to give up my popularity. I didn't want to give up my fitness. I didn't want to give up my sex life. I didn't want to give up my gigs. I just couldn't. And I just started crying and bawling, and people started praying on me. And there was this lady that she was so sweet. She started hugging me because she saw in how much pain I was. It was such a difficult moment for me, because I realized that I had to change my life. And that these things that I was doing wasn't good for me. And this lady started hugging me. She started crying with me, over me. And I must have spent there a good 2-3 hours. And the main prayer was that God will set me free. And they were asking God to intervene in my life and to help me turn my life around, because I, on my own human physical power, impossible. And after a couple of hours, after we finished praying, I walked out of that church, and I will never, ever forget that moment that I walked out of that church. When I walked out of that church on the way home, it's like a heavy burden, a heavy cloud just fell off of me. I felt so much joy in my spirit, and I felt very light, like a feather. I was on fire. It's like a heavy black, dark cloud that was following me all my life just fell off. And I started being so happy, even though that in my flesh I was very sad, because I realized that that's it, I'm going to lose everything. But I was feeling so much joy in my soul. I never experienced that kind of freedom. That empty void that I had forever, gone. I just knew it. Jesus is the truth, the way, and the life. And yeah, it was like somebody gave me a happy pill, you know. It's like I was on drugs for the first time without actually being on drugs. these were supernatural drugs.
Yeah.
So I'll never forget that. And everything changed in my life from that moment on. So many things changed. I was delivered of so many things. My neighbor, this crazy witch neighbor, she moved out. She disappeared. Mm. Completely gone. These cramps that I had, these labor pains that I've been having for like a good 6 months, they were gone. I couldn't listen to secular music anymore. I could hear the blasphemous lyrics all of a sudden. I've never listened to it since. I couldn't. And I was addicted to worship music. Worship music that I never liked. I couldn't stop listening to worship music. I started dressing differently. Like, I used to wear always very tight crop tops to show off my body. I stopped smoking weed. My friends from Metalworks, a whole bunch of people, I knew so many people in the music world, they just literally disappeared apart from one lady. They all disappeared. Not one tried to contact me. And don't forget, these were my friends for, well, years. And I would speak to these people every day, like every week I would see them at least once or twice in a gig or a bar. They disappeared. And I was thinking to myself, what am I going to tell these people? Because all of a sudden I was born again, and then I understood what it meant to be born again. And I thought, how am I going to tell my friends that I'm not going out anymore, and I'm not smoking weed, I'm not drinking anymore, I'm not fornicating anymore, and all that stuff. I didn't need to. God just radically removed everything. I lost all my friends from Metalworks. The neighbor moved out. The cramps were gone. The weed was gone. The alcohol was gone. And I was super happy. It was crazy. And unfortunately, my relationship also ended, because I told my boyfriend, obviously, my ex-boyfriend, he experienced this whole change. He's seen it. And I also told him what happened in the church with my pastor. And I told him, listen, I made it crystal clear. I told him, you remember how I told you that God is in charge? I said, I don't live for my own selfish desires anymore. I want to serve God, and I want to have a biblical marriage. I want to serve God and have a Christ-centered relationship. And I told him, I can't live the way that we used to live. I don't want to walk around half naked, show off my body, get drunk, go to gigs and sing I'm on the highway to hell because it's not cool. And that's his job. He's a rock musician. He's in that world, and God pulled me out of it. So we had to make a choice. And I told him as well, you have to make a choice, you know. And I told him, if you're going to continue living the way that you do, you're serving the enemy. And he chose to serve the enemy and the world, even though that he loved me very much. The enemy has a full grip on his life, and I pray for him every day because I loved him so much. Even when we separated, I was still madly in love with him, and I was leaving him because I knew it was a stronghold. I had to leave, and that was probably one of the most difficult things that I've ever done, that the man of my dreams, love of my life, now I understand it wasn't a relationship at all because we didn't share anything. But I had to make a choice. I said, if I follow God, I need to follow his will and do things his will, his way, not my way. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, unfortunately, we went separate ways, which was very painful. Not in the beginning, because I felt so happy, but something that I didn't share in my original testimony is that after about a month that I was super happy, I went through a heavy episode of spiritual warfare. I got attacked so badly because, you know, God set me free. I was delivered of so many things, and I was super happy, and I was also addicted to reading the Bible. I just couldn't stop reading the Bible, worship music. I wanted to tell everybody about Jesus, you know, how he's ripped the shackles off me. But after a month that I tasted the goodness of the Lord, I went through a season of isolation, and during that season, because God obviously after salvation comes sanctification, and I have been living so extreme in the world for so many years that God separated me. That's why everything was radically removed. And I was attacked by the enemy, and the enemy started playing tricks on my mind. Same what he did with Eve in the garden. Did God really say? And I started having doubts, and I was like, what if I made a mistake? What if I gave up everything? But what if it's not true, you know? And I started just getting horrific attacks, and I had a voice in my head that told me to basically kill myself 24/7 for months, that was telling me, you know, you should end yourself. And it was terrible. I couldn't sleep. At some point I was on sleeping medication, and even with the sleeping medication, I couldn't sleep. I never had sleeping paralysis after that, but the enemy was just trying to wear me out and do everything to pull me back. And I was fasting a lot. I was praying a lot. I wasn't having any social life at the time. I was completely cut off, and I knew I need to just persevere because I knew, like, the enemy is on my back. I could feel that. And that lasted for a couple of months where I was so weak. I couldn't eat. I couldn't exercise. I was hearing whispers in my ear. I was not sleeping well. Plus, I'm a single mother. I have my daughter to look after. So it was very stressful. And in the Bible, it says, you know, God will not allow you to be tempted more than what you can bear, and he will provide a way out. And I felt like, no, this is too much, man. This is too much. So one night I went on my knees, and I was at my end. And I literally said to the Lord, I said, I'd rather stop living after everything than having this for another week. And I meant it. And I just screamed out. And I said, I felt like Paul having a thorn in my flesh for months with no stop after losing everything, after giving everything up for God. I thought now that I'd given everything up for God, he owed me, you know. I had a bit of a prideful spirit. Again, lesson learned. So after crying out to the Lord, when I got at my wit's end and I said enough, and this was a final attempt of the enemy to pull me back, very funny thing happened, because that night after I cried out and said, God, please make it stop. I can't bear it anymore. This is honestly, I feel like I'm 80 years old. I went to bed, and the next morning I woke up, took a bus to the dentist, had an appointment. And when I got out of the bus, there was a crowd of people around me. And there was one guy from far away pointing at me. And he said, Jesus loves you. If it gets difficult, don't give up. You're doing the right thing. Don't give up. You need to keep going. Just trust in the Lord, because Jesus loves you. And he just shouted that out loud with all these people around me pointing at me. And I was looking to the Lord, and I was was looking to the right to see if there's anyone around me. And he said, no, I'm talking to you. And then he came to about 2-3 meters close to me, took an alleyway to the right, and boom, disappeared. Never seen this guy before, never seen him afterwards. And this kind of stuff started happening quite often to me during that season of suffering. It was like every time I was at breaking point, God did a little miracle in my life, you know, to lift me up. And I now realize that it was necessary for me. God had to completely, completely break me in order to remake me, because I'm so stubborn and I messed up and run away so many times. God kept on drawing me. He kept on drawing me, and I didn't want to listen. I didn't want to give it all up. So I kept on running until God said, you know what, Talita, enough is enough. And then I knew I had to make a choice, and I did. And eventually, after these few months of like really intensive spiritual warfare, after I was saved, this is when finally, I understood that I can do nothing without God, but I can do everything through Christ, and that I just need to hand it to him, and that I can just rest in the Lord. I never understood the peace of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, and I never understood when people say, just hand it to the Lord. I was like, well, you talk very easily. What does that mean, just hand it to the Lord? But now I do know what it means. You just lean on him, not on your own understanding, and he will direct your steps.
Yeah.
And then you can breathe, no matter how difficult your circumstance, no matter how much suffering. Now I can truly find joy in my suffering. I take it as a compliment because I'm doing something right, you know?
Talita, you are just such an amazing woman. Seriously, I am so moved by your testimony. And I know that people that are watching are as well. And what I hear, what I see is the relentless pursuit, the relentless love of Jesus, and how he will go after that one. And you are that one. And he never gave up on you, and he never gives up on us. Anna, so can you tell us, Talita, what you're doing today and where people can see more of you?
Well, I have a YouTube channel called The Corner of Truth, where I speak about these kind of issues, about spiritual warfare. And I also speak about questions that I had before I came to Christ. And I evangelize a lot, really. I'm not like a professional evangelist, but I do try to plant. I go around and plant seeds. I'll go speak to anyone on the street, in my work. And I'm just waiting on the Lord wherever he tells me to go, because the Bible says, don't be anxious for nothing. And just trust in the Lord and he will provide. So I'm not really planning anything ahead anymore. I just live every day for the Lord, try to praise the Lord in everything that I do, and just be a living witness, really, whether that's on the street, whether that's in my work, whether that's on this channel, whatever I can do.
Yeah,
because that's all that matters, really.
I love it. Thank you again, Talita. I just want to close with, there's a quote I love by Oswald Chambers that says, let God be as original with others as he is with you. What does God's personal workings in your life, Talita, mean to you?
Freedom, total freedom and salvation and love.
Yes. Amen. Will you pray with us today?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. Father, we pray today. I want to thank you for presenting me with this opportunity to speak on Julie's channel and to be a living testimony for you, Lord. I thank you for everything you've done in my life, and I hope that it will touch the hearts of many. I hope that it will spread wide and far, Lord, and that people will be able to witness your power, your glory, and your might, Lord, for you are good. Your ways are better than our own. So I want to thank you, and I also want to ask you to bless this ministry of Julie, that you bless her and her family, Lord. Thank you for the work that she's doing for you. And I also pray that you will bring many more people with nice testimonies to her so that they can share of your goodness and your glory, so that people may understand who you are, that you are the truth, the way, the life, Lord. And that's all that matters. So thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. What a testimony. Oh, my goodness. I mean, from this to that to that to this to this man to that man. I'm into drugs. 20 cigarettes in a pack. In a pack. And all of them got cocaine. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, she went through the storm and lots of rain. But look, God loved her. And she made it. Yes, she did. She made it. And we tell the Lord, thank you. So listen this morning, if you have something you would like to say, please feel free and press that number one. We have a few minutes, about 28 minutes left. And so feel free to press that number one and still come in. Wow, what a testimony. I cannot, oh my goodness. God is able. That's all I can say. He is able and I'm excited for her. Because, oh, she went through some bad times. Left, went somewhere else, got raped when she first got there. Got with another man. He was abusive and had a baby, then married. Oh, my goodness. It was just too much. But you see the patience of God in this. All she was doing and all this stuff, he had the patience to wait on her because he knew she would eventually come to him. Thank you, Jesus. Come unto me, all that are burdened and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. But a lot of times we want to come in the way we want to come and do it. No, no, no. We got to pray for wisdom. Pray for understanding. Yeah, pray for knowledge. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, if no one has anything they would like to say this morning, I will pray us out, and we pray the Lord bring us back Monday morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another episode of Jesus in the Morning. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word today. For your word is a lamp unto our feet, it's a light unto our path. And Father, sanctify us today through that truth, for that word is true. And we ask that you would lead and guide us this weekend, the entire weekend, God, in the right path for your name's sake. Use us to be a blessing unto others. And Father, help us to be givers this weekend. We know that many money is short. It don't add up. And God, multiply. But Lord, help us to give because you love a cheerful giver. Help us to give out of our need. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We give you glory. We give you the honor and praise. And Father, we ask today that, Lord, you bless every caller and every listener, those coming through the archives and the podcast. Lord, bless as only you can do this weekend. Do it in a big way. Hallelujah. Well, they can say, I know my Redeemer lives. Bless the going out. Bless the coming in. Father, again, meet the need in our lives this weekend according to your riches and glory by your Son, Christ Jesus. And Father, we ask it all in Jesus' name. And anything we missed, we ask that you would take it up for us today. In the precious name of Jesus, amen and hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from another. In the name of Jesus, go today in love and peace. Share the good news of Jesus and give someone something of quality. God loves a cheerful giver. Have a blessed weekend. I speak the blessings of Almighty God upon you this weekend. Start March 29, 2024, in Jesus' name. When we come back, we'll come back in April, around April the 2nd, which will be this coming Monday. Ooh, this year is getting on away from us. But we thank God for his grace and his mercy. So we're going to this next one, and we're only going to play just a tad bit of it, I believe, and then we are out. After this, I won't be coming back today. God bless you.
Everything, but I still had you. You showed me your grace.